Many women with early stage breast cancer who would receive chemotherapy under current standards don't actually need it. This, according to a major international study that is expected to change medical treatment. The study, which is being published by the New England Journal of Medicine, found that gene tests on tumor samples were able to identify women who could safely skip chemotherapy and take only a drug that blocks the hormone estrogen or stops the body from making it. Joining me live to talk about what this study means and how it could affect medical treatment is Dr. Dan Zuckerman, Medical Director of St. Luke's Mountain States Tumor Institute. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me, Gemma.
First question, why is this study so significant?
Oh, this is a landmark study. So we've been waiting for this study for about 15 years. And in fact, even at St. Luke's, we were one of over 1,000 sites that participated in this study. About 10 years ago, and we've just been waiting for the data to mature. But the reason it's so important is that it allows us to tell a significant portion of women with early stage breast cancer that they don't need chemotherapy, and to tell them that with confidence. And that was something that previously we weren't able to do because for many women, actually many people with cancer, in fact, not just for breast cancer, we say there's a role for chemotherapy, but when you really sit down with your oncologist and you learn the data, we know that unfortunately, in a lot of situations, we're recommending chemotherapy with a maybe this will help you, this might improve your chances. And so this study, to be able to tell us for a big population of women that you do not need chemotherapy, your outcomes are exactly the same with just doing hormone therapy. That's why this is such an important study.
And tell me about the study itself, because this was a long-term study.
Absolutely. So this study started, I think, back in 2006 and enrolled over 10,000 women from around the world, including women here in Idaho. I mean, like I said, we had this study open at St. Luke's, and I myself have put women on this study many years ago. So, to understand a little bit about the background here is that, really in 2000, the National Cancer Institute came out with a pretty blanket recommendation that if a woman had breast cancer and it was greater than 1 centimeter, which is actually not that big, you should get chemotherapy. And this was the standard of care recommendation since 2000 with maybe a little bit of variation. And so I think that a lot of people coming into this, a lot of women who get diagnosed come in with an expectation like, oh my God, I'm going to need chemotherapy. And then in 2004, this genetic assay, this test, which is called Oncotype, looks at 21 different genes in the breast tumor itself, gives us a way to analyze the genes that are mutated in this to predict which are the higher risk and which are the lower risk cancers. And what this study did was basically divide, and what we've known before this study is that this gene test could tell us which women were low risk, which is about 15% of women, which women were high risk, who definitely benefited from chemotherapy, and that was about 15% of women. But about 70% of women fall into this intermediate range where you get a score from 11 to 25. And for all these years, up until last weekend, we didn't know whether women in that range benefited from chemotherapy or not. And so this study finally tells us that for the bulk, 70% of women with this type of cancer do not need to get chemotherapy. Their outcomes, because what the trial did was it took women in that intermediate risk category and randomized half of them just to get endocrine therapy, something like tamoxifen and pill you just take, versus tamoxifen plus chemotherapy. And the women who had gotten chemotherapy received no additional benefit.
Wow. So tell me, though, if a person comes in and they're diagnosed with breast cancer, this isn't always going to be the answer, though, correct?
That's correct. And I think, in many ways, that's the take-home message. I think one take-home message that, some could come away from this is that, well, we used to think more is better, but now less is better. And I mean, that's a, understandable way to interpret this. But I think the real take-home message is that this, in fact, the name of the trial is called Taylor X. That's the name of the trial because the take-home message is really that in this day and age, we're able to use molecular diagnostic, these genetic assays like this Oncotype test, to really truly tailor therapy. And that should be the take-home message, is that every woman's breast cancer is frankly different and is not the same as the woman sitting next to her. So I think that is important to say that there are still subsets of breast cancer that absolutely need to get chemotherapy to achieve cure and to get the outcomes we want.
And you were at this conference.
Yes.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
When the research was unveiled.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to imagine, a hangar with 40,000 oncologists and say that's a party.
But right.
But I will tell you, this was a highly, highly anticipated study. And there really were close to 40,000 people there waiting for this. This was the what's called plenary session, where really the three or four most groundbreaking studies for this year was presented. And I mean, there were, cheers. The person, Dr. Sperano, who presented the study, got a standing ovation. He's a, you know, well-known breast oncologist who's put a lot of work into this over the decades. So this was really, truly, truly a highly anticipated study.
So talk to me about chemotherapy itself, because we're talking about, what, going on 50 years that this is the standard of care.
That's right. Yeah, actually, yeah. So we've been, you know, doing chemotherapy in general since World War II, and specifically in breast cancer, actually the the year after I was born, 1976, a very important, you know, landmark at that time, Italian study demonstrated for the first time that chemotherapy increases the survival rate for women with breast cancer. But the part that's baked into there is that to, you know, really to save maybe four or five lives, we would have to treat 100 women with breast cancer. I mean, that's been and remains one of the challenges of oncology, is that to save a few lives, which is, of course, what we're here to do. You know, the dirty secret here is that we have to treat a lot of people who probably didn't need it. And that's the beauty of this study, is rather than saying, well, this group of 100 women, we're going to give you all chemotherapy and we know we'll save four or five of you. We just don't know which ones. Now we can apply this test, analyze a tumor and say, okay, you, the 95 of you, you get a pass. You do not need chemotherapy, and tell them that with confidence. And those who have a higher risk score, we can tell those women, you do need chemotherapy if we want to achieve the best outcomes, and also tell them that with confidence.
And that's what it comes down to, is being able to say with confidence.
Absolutely. There's so much uncertainty in oncology and, you know, in life in general. And this this study helps remove a lot of that.
I'm speaking with Dr. Dan Zuckerman. He is the medical director at Mountain States Tumor Institute in Boise. We're talking about new research regarding early stage breast cancer and chemotherapy treatment. If you have questions that you would like answered, please email us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. We will try to get your questions answered. So please do that, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. When we talk, Dr. Zuckerman, about chemotherapy, I mean, there are benefits to chemotherapy, but there are also side effects to chemotherapy. Can you talk about that?
No, absolutely. I think, you know, whenever we talk to patients, we take them through a benefit-risk analysis. The benefits, we hope, you know, are that we increase the cure rate. Those should be obvious. But the risks and the side effects are things that people would imagine. You lose your hair. You're tired. You're at risk for infection. We can actually, in a small percentage of people, cause long-term damage to nerves, even to their heart. And unfortunately, even a small, small subset, about 0.5%, but we can actually cause a secondary cancer. So there are a lot of reasons that we would all love to avoid chemotherapy for people. And so it's, I have to say, as an oncologist, you know, may not be intuitive, but one of the most gratifying things we can tell people is that really you don't need chemotherapy. I mean, that's to me, that's a great visit if I'm able to say that to a patient, and that we know that it's the truth and we can say it with confidence.
And when someone comes into you now, since this study has come out, you talk about this test. And I read that this test with breast cancer is about $3,000, but it should be covered by medical insurance.
And it is.
Okay. And so that's where they get that the number you're talking about to know if they need chemotherapy.
Exactly. And so the number we're talking about, it's called a recurrence score. We call it the RS. And it basically tests 21 different genes in that breast tumor. And again, to be clear, these are not the genes a woman's born with. These are not hereditary genes that she can pass on to her kids. These are the genes of the tumor itself. And you get a score from 0 to 100. And we knew before this study that if you were 0 to 10, you were low risk. We knew you didn't need chemotherapy. If you were 26 and higher, we knew you were high risk, and that you really did need chemotherapy. But again, 70% of women would fall into that risk range of 11 to 25. That would
75%.
70% of women would fall into what's called the intermediate risk range, which is a score of 11 to 25. And so we would do this test and apply it. And again, for 30% of the women, we'd have a good answer. You're low risk, you don't need chemotherapy. You're high risk, you do need chemotherapy. But the 70% of women who were in the middle, we were sort of back to square one. It was like, well, you're intermediate risk. And for the last decade and a half that we've had the test, we've been just counseling women individually saying, again, you're in that intermediate range. You might benefit from chemo. And you can imagine a ton of hand-wringing, a lot of lost nights of sleep, both for the patients and, frankly, for us as oncologists. And women would be left with making an individual decision about, do I want to do chemotherapy, go through the rigors of this for 3 to 4 months with all those side effects we just talked about, for maybe I'll get 4 to 5% benefit. And frankly, some women would take it and some women wouldn't. And you couldn't fault any group or any woman to make that individual choice. But now we know. We know that if you're in that intermediate risk group, you're actually truly what we'll probably later call low risk. But that score of 11 to 25, which is the majority, again, 70% of women, do not need to be going through chemotherapy.
So how do you assure a woman who has cancer that they don't need chemotherapy? And I ask this question because since it has been the standard of care for so long, it is almost shocking to hear that you have cancer, but you don't need this treatment.
I think absolutely right. And that tells me that fortunately, you know, hopefully you haven't had any encounters with cancer recently. And I think as lay people, we, you know, it's not a topic we, you know, like
we
to think of.
Yeah,
we don't talk
often.
About it. We don't think about it. But, you know, one of the amazing things that happens is when, you know, unfortunately, when someone gets diagnosed with cancer, they become expert pretty quickly. And so no matter what someone's education level or background, we find that when patients come in, they're actually quite educated. And when you do a pretty cursory read, you discover that actually, yeah, it's more nuanced than saying you need chemotherapy. So it is that patients come into us with an expectation of it's a maybe and that there's risks and benefits. So it's not that hard to convince women of it. And especially with this study, that's the other beauty of the study is it's so definitive. The data are so clear. I mean, the survival rates were 94%, identical survival rates in the arm that got randomized to chemotherapy and the arm that – so there was no – you know, sometimes we get studies where the data is muddy and you can still quibble about this or that or the statistical significance. Here the data are so clean, they're so definitive that it's not going to be hard to convince any woman of this.
Could there be benefits for other cancers because of this study?
Well, absolutely. I mean that's I think why this study is so exciting for us as oncologists is that it was what it represents. I mean, this is symbolic of this new era in oncology where we're actually using molecular studies, genomic tests, to be able to predict and say, hey, you need chemo, you don't need chemo. You need immunotherapy, you don't need immunotherapy. In fact, in the next couple of months, we, you know, at St. Luke's MISTI, in addition to thousands of centers across the country, are actually going to be starting a trial where the same test, this Oncotype DX score, will be applied to women where we will now be able to make an assessment to predict whether they need radiation therapy or not. And so that's one of the, you know, so that's one area where not only can we apply this to whether or not you need chemo or not, but do you need radiation? We've had a similar study already done, didn't get quite as much press, but in prostate cancer where we can, you know, do a prostate biopsy for men with prostate cancer, do a very similar molecular test and give men information with great confidence that whether or not they even need treatment, you know, whether you even need to.
Well, I remember this study.
Yeah, so whether men even, so and that's, you know, 10 years ago, that would have been unheard of. There wasn't a man alive who had prostate cancer who wasn't going to get surgery or radiation. And now, increasingly, there's men who, yeah, we're diagnosing with prostate cancer, but because of the molecular test that tells us, hey, look, this thing's so low risk, it's never going to bother you in your lifetime. We can just monitor them, something we call active surveillance.
I'm speaking with Dr. Dan Zuckerman. He's the medical director at Mountain States Tumor Institute in Boise. We're talking about new research and a groundbreaking study regarding early-stage breast cancer and chemotherapy treatment. If you're just joining us in this conversation, Dr. Zuckerman, could you just quickly once again talk about the study itself and the findings?
Yeah, so we're talking about a study that was just presented in Chicago last week that really showed us there is a genetic test that we can do on women's breast cancer to predict who doesn't need chemotherapy. So it's really a test that allows us to tell that tells us that a significant portion, 70% of women with this early stage breast cancer, do not need to get chemotherapy.
And for older women, I believe I read a statistic that the average age of being diagnosed is like 62 years old.
Right, that's right.
So for younger women, how are they affected by this study?
Well, that's a great question. And again, buried in this, you know, is an important nuance. And so when we did this study, you can do subset analysis to look at younger women were defined as 50 or under and about a 25.
I do like that you're 50 and under thinking you're younger.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And so that's the study said the same thing. And so for these women, there's actually if you're under 50 and you had a recurrence score that was 16 to 25. So again, getting into some of the weeds here, meaning you were at a little bit of the higher end of the intermediate risk score, you actually still derived a benefit from chemotherapy. And that was about 15% of the women. So yeah, so everything we say is I think what we see, you know, talk about on this show and what you saw in the New York Times and on CBS News was that, oh, women don't need, you know, chemotherapy for breast cancer. Again, that's a little bit too broad a statement. We know that for women under 50 whose recurrence scores was a little bit higher in the intermediate range, may still benefit from chemotherapy. And one other interesting thing I'd add is the thing that we don't know, though, are they really benefiting from the chemotherapy, or are they actually benefiting from the fact that, frankly, we usually induce menopause in women in that perimenopausal age from 40 to 50.
So then those hormones.
Exactly. So right. So the key question, this was brought up in the study, is like, okay, those women who got chemotherapy benefited, but are they actually benefiting from the chemo itself in terms of its tumor killing properties? Or are you actually just benefiting because we knock them into menopause? Because there's a lot easier ways to knock a woman into menopause than chemotherapy. Exactly. So that is one question that comes out of this study that will deserve further research.
But it still, I would think, as an oncologist, to be able to definitively look at a woman and say, you're under 50, this is the score, you could benefit from this, has to be groundbreaking.
Oh, it absolutely is. I can't tell. I mean, these visits that we go through and women have gone through, I mean, it's harrowing. I mean, we spend a lot of time taking them through this, and to spend an hour with your oncologist and learn what the data are and we'll learn what the recommendations are and have us say, well, you might benefit from chemotherapy. I mean, that's really unsatisfying for both us and most of all for our patients. So yeah, to look someone in the eye and say, hey, you have this cancer. We analyzed the tumor and looked at his genes. You're 48. You had a recurrent score of 21. You're going to benefit from chemotherapy. You should get chemotherapy. We're not going to hem or haw about it.
And when it comes to oncology medicine, a study like this, what does that do for your industry?
Well, it's interesting. So it's we all would love to be giving less chemotherapy. And I think, actually, I remember when I wrote my fellowship application, because some listeners may know my father's also an oncologist. The first line of my essay was, I want to put my dad out of business someday. and
that's that's a good goal, though.
It is a good goal.
Oncology.
I would love to be on this show 10 or 20 years from now and say, hey, I'm out of a job. And so for us, I think bottom line is we're thrilled to be able to say, hey, you don't need chemotherapy. To us, that's the most important thing.
So when women come in, they are going to get this test.
Yes.
First and foremost.
Yes.
And then from there, then it's the conversation of you can actually say.
Yeah. This is the score. I mean, we sit down with them. We show it. I mean, the company puts out a beautiful, couple-page report. It's in color. We go through it, and all our breast surgeons know this. So actually, we're really sort of teed up, as are most centers across the country, that that if they fit in the right category where they have a hormone-sensitive breast cancer, the surgeons are already sending off the test after surgery. So by the time they sit down with their medical oncologist to go over it, we have the results, and we have the answer.
This is a groundbreaking, and this is an exciting time.
This is a fantastic. This is a. We are really. In my view, we're really at the beginning of a golden age in oncology. So there'll be more studies like this to come.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in today and talking to us about this. Dr. Dan Zuckerman is the medical director at St. Luke's Mountain States Tumor Institute. Again, thanks so much for your time today.
Well, thanks for having us on, Gemma.